How's it going, Shane, with Hard Money, Hard Knocks, Bitcoin podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners working hard to improve adoption in their community. The current Bitcoin price is $21,435. One US dollar could buy you $4,665. And the current block height is 745,363. So today we're going to be having Alexandria from Zimbabwe in Africa joining us to talk about Bitcoin adoption in Africa and what's going on with meetups around the countries down there and how is Bitcoin continuing to adopt. So Alexandria, welcome and thank you for coming on Hard Money, Hard Knocks.
Thank you for having me. This is your seat at CTP.
All right. So why don't you go ahead and start giving us a little background into when you got into Bitcoin and just how you heard about it and what keeps you motivated to keep learning and drive Bitcoin adoption?
All right. Awesome. So I got my background has primarily been a value investor. And then so I started off with stocks in 2020 when the COVID crash happened. The only asset I couldn't outperform was Bitcoin itself, you know. So listening to podcasts like the Investor Podcast, where you have investors like Preston Pitch, just I was surprised because Preston Pitch is also a value investor. And I was thinking, why is he talking about Bitcoin, right? But listening to his podcast more and more, to understand that the use case. So first I understood why Bitcoin was last 10 years. It was extremely undervalued, you know. We have an intrinsic value, don't really like to use the term intrinsic value, of around $300,000 mark. At those prices I'm like, Bitcoin is just it's a no-brainer, you know, right? I mean, even if it doesn't reach asymmetric return is so high to not so I started off this is saying, you know, come for the gains and stay for the river gains, and I understood the revolution, understood the importance of Bitcoin, and especially there's no other country that needs Bitcoin. Zimbabwe has experienced four bank failures and currency failure, I think. Right? We experienced hyperinflation, maybe 8% inflation, you know, or 9% inflation in the United States. We're like 2% inflation almost every week.
Right, crazy.
It'll blow your you think inflation. And you would take inflation so seriously, losing 100% of his purchasing power almost every day, right? That's my
And you know, that's a really cool aspect that I was looking forward to talking to you about Bitcoin, is because, you know, here in the United States, majority of people view Bitcoin as an investment. For me, I kind of shot myself in the foot for a few years, got myself into some trouble. Alcohol was a poison for me, and just me and it don't get along. So I haven't drank for a few years now, really started kind of turning my life around. And I just knew like the American dream was dead. You know, it would be more obvious to me. And to think about trying to get going, I was like, I'm screwed. I got into the politics when COVID started happening, and then I just realized, well, the money's so broken, like, how can we fix anything? And then my buddies told me about Bitcoin, and it was like, man, here's the perfect fix for all the issues that we're having, and gave me a lot of hope and made me realize that the American dream could be in touch. So, you know, it's when I view it, like, how am I treating Bitcoin? You know, I really don't view it as an investment for myself either. you know, I've never been into the stock market or anything. So for me, Bitcoin's an opportunity to have a future. And I just, you know, I'm not to the extremes of some of these poorer countries, but like, I've definitely been in the lower class for the past few years and just seeing all the pain and struggle that happens with the people. And to think that this is happening worldwide and it's been happening in these third world countries for, you know, a long time now, it's really unfortunate. But finally, the people have hope, and that's Bitcoin. So what is it, you know, what is the majority of people view Bitcoin in Africa? Is it, you know, is it that escape from the currency crisis that's been happening there? Or are there, you know, a lot of people viewing it as an investment as well?
So I think view it as a savings account or for family. I think even when in our group, we said, okay, what do you guys use for? And the first most of the most responses, well, we use it because, you know, for bank failures, no banking, no trust in the, you know, you won't want to put your money in a bank. You won't want to keep your money at home. So you primarily want to store value. For me, for myself, you know, I'd rather use it as an account. You know, I don't even use it as an investment anymore. It's not like 100% of my cash. Any cash I get, well, I get paid in Bitcoin. Any cash I get is just primarily Bitcoin. And then one of the biggest aspects that I'm going to go to a party or events, I never used to go to any parties at all. But in different countries, people want to go out. And you'll find, you go to these events and you find people talking about Bitcoin. About it is that they're using it as a way to, or scalability. Zimbabwe is a sanctioned country. And you know, explain that. But due to Zimbabwe being a sanctioned country, it's much harder for you to get your US dollar. Not only is it much harder, to get your US dollars outside of the country, but it's, so you can pay from anywhere from 35% to 50% in charges to send money outside of Zimbabwe. If you're using like a proper bank, you're not even sending your own funds. So you basically get this, you go to the bank and you apply to send your money outside. So what to send money outside, and then later do you pay the bankers whatever amount it was, right? So you're not even sending your money. That is such a long process. Just yesterday when I had my Bitcoin event, the day before that, sorry, I did two transactions, and the second one was the banking system, because my father, he uses the Bitcoin just yet, but he's coming around. Anyway, he used the legacy system, I used Bitcoin. Send me Bitcoin. As soon as I got it, like 0.0% from, actually, this is Bitcoin DeFi. But so sometimes these transactions, you can actually gain 3% when you're doing it. And then I immediately found someone, I found a money dealer, and it was instantly, I had like no problems. You compare that to deep remittances inside. What happened is that I because I was good, I need all this documentation and all that stuff. So I go to the bank, like right at 3 o'clock. This is when the bank closes, right? So you're already feeling all this anxiety that, yo, I'm about to sneak into the bank by saying, "Ah, listen, I know the bank manager. They let me in." So what happens when you need to withdraw, you need to have your ID, and then you need to, so I have to call my brother, "Hey, can you come with my passport to the bank?" And as soon as he gets it, I'm like, "Yeah, can you now give me a copy?" And I'm like, "There's no way I'm going to withdraw this." I finally get the copies, I go to the bank, I have to give up all this documentation, and like getting this money from us. You know, you compare these two systems, and you're naturally just Bitcoin is so difficult. Like, I don't, like, I think people think Bitcoin is difficult, but when you actually start, Bitcoin is so much easier. I have friends in Nigeria, for example, and Botswana. Whenever we're sending money to each other, I use Bitcoin, right? Because this is so how much easier it was. So one thing that's really taking off is remittances. Due to the fact Zimbabwe is very high. Like, even if you look at El Salvador is going to save $400 million in cash every year, because they're no longer going to be paying these high interest because of these predatory bank intermediaries, right? So even if they lose, like, volatility, or they don't even lose it, but even if they experience a 2 million volatility loss, right, it'll still be nothing what they're actually going to gain from, because of remittances, like, in third world countries and ourselves.
Yeah, and you know, like you're saying, Bitcoin is, when you get into the legacy financial system, like, it is difficult. There's a lot to it. It's slow. It takes long. And one, you don't have full permission to your money at any point, you know, unless you have it in cash. But we're going to a cashless society, and most people don't even carry cash on them anymore. Now that I don't work in a restaurant, I don't ever have cash on me anymore, and I miss that. So yeah, it's, even now when I go to a gas station and I'm like pulling out my debit card and stuff, I'm like, I can make this payment so much quicker and faster with Bitcoin Lightning payments. And that's a really cool aspect to think that I could send Bitcoin around the world to anybody through the Lightning Network, and it gets their, you know, email fast, text message fast. And to think of all the money that people are going to save on the remittance payments, like you were saying, I mean, just power to the people, more money back in their pockets, and more hope that Bitcoin brings to people.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at what happened, is that Zimbabwe gets sanctioned in 2002 for human international law. When a country is unable and unwilling to protect it, so the national communities have to step in and punish the city, right? To think, but the funny thing is that they use sanctions, right? And is to inflict pain on citizens. We can talk about the politicians who did this. Like, I don't support and they are responsible for this hyperinflation to a large degree. Also understand that thing, Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe, right? And when you impose sanctions on a country, what immediately happens, banking corresponding relations, because it means that we have to payments instantly, right? Cash for now, right? You make a payment, you register a payment in your country, and it gets registered in another country, and the payment goes through. That's what allows it to happen so fast. Now, when you your ability to send money outside gets blocked, right? The person, me and being Alexander, wants to send money to you. The sanctions, what happens is when I make a payment, right? The SWIFT system, block it, basically. Either they give you a wallet, immediately block it, and then that payment can no longer go to Bank in America to send money. That destroys our ability to do most transactions or any kind of trade with of Zimbabwe, right? And that immediately just destroys an economy, or as other effects, but I don't want to go, I can get into that later.
So why don't you start getting a little bit into the meetups that you've been having out there? How long ago did you start having them, and what made you start wanting to do that?
Yeah, meetups about 2 months ago. With a lady called Anita Posh. She's Australian. Austrian, sorry. She hosted a cool meetup in the capital city, Harare, which is a different city from which I'm at. Then the thing was, okay, at first, I've been in the Bitcoin and I'm looking, okay, where are the other Bitcoiners in Zimbabwe? It is so quiet when it comes to Bitcoin adoption, right? And the reason for being is that I think it goes with the name of what we call this meetup, or what we call proof of resilience. We want to show resilience, and the reason why we have to show resilience, our government has destroyed our thing in industrial hub in Zimbabwe. Right, we have a 98% rate. Maybe that's so. You're only leaving about 2% of the population that has just they're getting paid like $40 to $10 per month. Anyway, another example that I like to use is that Zimbabwe TV station in 1969. Right? Oh, sorry, it was the second country southern of Africa to have a TV station. Up until this day, which the local TV station compare that to India has DStv, just a multi-million dollar company. They have 100 TV stations basically, right? So you can see, yeah, and then we come to Bitcoin, where our government placed an implicit ban on Bitcoin. So no financial services can be given by the banks or central banks, which destroys the ability for people to on-ramp and off-ramp to Bitcoin on a centralized way, right? So Zimbabwe went from being leading in Bitcoin adoption in Africa. Gulag is one of the exchanges that used to be in Zimbabwe. We're having 50,000 customers. And it went from zero to hero really quick. I mean, from hero to zero really quick. In order to survive in Zimbabwe, we have to be so resilient. Right? It is not going to be as easy as it is in America or UK. I think easier than China, but it's going to be much harder. So yeah, I started this community 2 months ago because I'm like, I need to solve all, such as an off-ramp and on-ramp. I need to solve the problem of agent creation and having local meetups where people come and talk and, right? And also I wanted to bring Bitcoin companies into Zimbabwe. When you do meetups like that, it solves so many problems. We're all now all these a lot of these quickly, and I don't know if you want to get into deep detail later.
Right on. It's really cool. I've been talking to several people, you know, since starting this podcast, and man, there's a lot of meetups starting this year, and they're really just starting to get going. So it's really awesome that you're doing it out there. Are you familiar? Are there more meetup organizers starting to happen to come out in Africa, or are you, you know, one of the first couple and one of the, you know, still for one of the few for now?
Yeah. So, in Zimbabwe, I'm still Bitcoin. Maybe there's some other coins. I don't know. But when it comes to Bitcoin, I was the first, I believe, to be the first in who's a local person. But what I basically did was that, you know, I created a team of individuals. So we started with maybe about two people. But now the team who actually organizes meetups in Africa is one. So what I basically did is that I put people in this group called Bitcoin Jobs. Basically allows them to earn by doing meetups like that. So you even have people who aren't Bitcoiners yet, right? Like, okay, listen, if you want to make money, join this place. And what you're basically doing is you're gonna be educating people about Bitcoin and doing these Bitcoin events, right? And Bitcoin meetups, basically. As soon as they get into the group, I show them all the ways and how the company is hiring people to do meetups, and then I also guide up. I also tell them that, listen, if you don't understand Bitcoin just yet, I'll come and post videos. What I want from you is I want your audience of people. If I work with so many people, I can get contact to so many people, and I mean to grow the Bitcoin community in a much faster pace than if I'm just using my contacts, for example, right? I'm basically kind of training a lot of individuals into creating more communities in different African Zimbabwe and also in neighboring countries like Botswana and South Africa. Probably Bitcoiners who were with me from the start, who was working together. So yeah, and then we're also working together on content creation for our meetups, social media pages, to show what we're working on and stuff.
Right on. So what, as far as like, is there any stores that accept Bitcoin for payments? Are there, you know, is there any businesses out there starting to get interested in accepting Bitcoin?
Okay, so when it comes to stores, when the government is ability for individuals to off-ramp and on-ramp into Bitcoin, it destroys any business from being able to use Bitcoin, especially if you want to do loans on a daily basis and you want to convert to fiat, for example, to pay your bills and your expenses. It's difficult to do so, right? So before I started saying, I said, let me fix it. Of on-ramping and on-ramping to Bitcoin, and we're doing that through social media platforms. But yeah, we're not yet there because of the whole problem of off-ramping and on-ramping onto Bitcoin. And again, like I said, our community just started about two. Bitcoin in Zimbabwe is really in this infinite stage because there's no other country that needs Bitcoin. We're not yet there yet, but I think with time we're gonna be there. But there's also the thing of what we're doing is we're bringing Bitcoin companies from outside of Zimbabwe. I think that's the stuff
from there. Yeah, absolutely. And what are the people showing up to your meetups? What has been the age variety? You know, is there a lot of guys your age? Are there any females, older people?
Okay, yeah. Not all ages. It's been from 20s going all the way to 40s and 30s, 50s. It's been quite, there's some like really coming to our meetups. Best of this because Africa is basically the young population. I forgot what they call it. The average population in Africa right now, I think, is 21, 22 there, right? And Zimbabwe is no different. A lot of people are in the 20s, and then we also have a lot of meetups where there's also people than us. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, there's a whole generational gap towards Bitcoin. You know, young people will much learn what Bitcoin is than older people at the beginning of it. But my main initiative of a diversified audience when we're doing these meetups. So we have all kinds of ages above 20. And I mean, if you can see pictures and you see that most people, they're not my age sometimes. But yeah.
Yeah, and so just to give you a little bit of insight, I've been to several meetups, like three or four here in the U.S., and it's really interesting because you got people from earlier 20s all the way to their 50s and 60s, and that's something that I wasn't expecting, you know, especially here in America. It'll be harder for some of these older generations to get into Bitcoin, because they've been so used to the dollar being having its prominent position in the world that it has. So they can, you know, they've been around with the dollar being so successful for so long. It's too hard to imagine a world without the dollar existing. So a lot of these older people are just right off Bitcoin immediately because they think, oh, no way anything could replace the dollar. But that's, you know, we've been very fortunate here in America to live in the position we have. But when you see what's happening around the world, when you start taking an outsider's perspective, you know, hyperinflation can happen here in America at any time. You know, we're not susceptible to that. You know, we're not bulletproof when it comes to our currency losing its value. You know, nobody thought Rome would fall back in the day, but eventually it did. And, you know, I don't want to be around to see the leftovers of what happens. You know, I think something's heading here in the U.S. and around the world, and I want to try to be ahead of it. And so it's really cool to see some of these older generations getting into Bitcoin as well, to just go against the FUD that it's for younger people. And it's awesome to see that it's not just here in the U.S. that it's happening, and it's happening in Africa and everywhere else that Bitcoin's starting to be adopted.
Because also happens, I just want to go on your data points, is that as a country starts to hyperinflate, people immediately go to US dollars, right? A bit, right? But I mean, one of the things I always have to tell individuals is that for any commodity, the marginal value of a commodity will always go to its marginal, because $0 to make $0 to make the US dollar, right? I can just print $3 and type it in, and so like cost, right? The marginal cost always go down to its marginal cost. It takes nothing to produce the same with the Zimbabwean currency. It takes nothing to produce the same currency, right? Or value. But I mean, it takes time to it's really hard to educate. But yeah.
Yeah, and that's an awesome aspect about the Bitcoin meetups that are happening, is it's a place to provide an educational experience for people new and experienced to Bitcoin. Every meetup I go to, I generally run into somebody, start talking to them, and I start learning more. And that's one aspect I love about going to the meetups, is that even I get to learn. And I still have so much more to learn about Bitcoin, just our current monetary system that we're in right now. And I just love learning more about what's happening in our world. It's so fascinating to think that we're living through this part of history, and it just keeps me wanting to dive in more. So what are, go ahead.
No, I wanted to go into another point, but I think if you have another question, let's go into
that. No, go for it. Do your thing.
I mean, if you look at the educational aspect, I think the one thing that I'm in these education is we try to give people about $1 worth of, because when you explaining Bitcoin to an individual, it all sounds like mad. Sometimes it can be very complicated. When I tried learning what electric was, I was just like, dude, there's no way I'm gonna understand this. And then someone let me send some stats, and that immediately clicked for me, right? So the individuals, I mean, a small number, and then we try to give each individual about $10 worth of we actually try to give people so we, at first, what we do is we get in before the event, we say, guys, download a watch wallet, a hot wallet, right? And what I also started to emphasize at this point is that I say, listen, you're going to download this wallet, you're going to write your private keys down, right? I explained to the private keys on the importance about how, you know, your private key, these wallets will give you about a 12 or 12. But if you use like something like a code card, for example, you're going to get a four letter to 24 words with a private pen, right? For user bytes, for everyone, they make it 12 letters, right? Because you're a new user, right? And I explained to them, listen, this is what we call hard wallets. And the reason why we call this a hard wallet is because the code wallet, for example, isn't connected to the internet. It makes it hard for you to hack. It makes it harder for you to has to physically get your code card, for example. Right? I explained to them, listen, hacks in the last 13 years of existence. Compare that to the legacy system, which has been hacked 17% annually. Right? Then I say, you got a that you control, right? It took you literally 2 minutes, and you compare that to your legacy system, where when you go to, you're gonna have to provide your ID, your proof of residence, and then you're gonna have to sign all these documentations, right? And sometimes you won't even be able to comply with KYC regulations. and that's allowing them to download the wallet. And then what we do is we give people what should call a smart Bitcoin. So that's what you want. I don't know if you wanted to learn about on DeFi is. So basically, can I explain this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm not familiar with DeFi too much, so I haven't really dove into that. So I'm, by all means, I'm here to learn as well. Like I said earlier. So go for it.
Right. So yeah. So assuming let's say I buy like $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, right? So I have taken this Bitcoin off these exchanges, and when I take this Bitcoin, basically, I've contributed to the demand. So basically, the Bitcoin holders will bring thing from the reduced supply, therefore will increase the supply. That's the first benefit that I like to explain. Right, when I take this Bitcoin, what I do is I use what we call Vostok. It does a two-way. So it basically locks the Bitcoin blockchain itself, right? And then it releases the same equivalent amounts, right? Which is layer two, or what we call sidechain. Sorry, no, it's not layer two. It's layer one again, but it's what we call it. So the equivalent amount gets released at that point, right? If you look at both the sidechain and the block, you equivalent amount. There's only going to be 21 million, and there's only going to be 21 million smart Bitcoins. Okay. Root Thug basically believed there was no pre-mine or no is created at all, right? To ensure, right? Okay. So, firstly, individuals benefit from the reduced supply contracting smart Bitcoin, and then the Root Thug itself with Neo merge mining. So, with a slight twitch, Bitcoin miners can both mine smart Bitcoin and Bitcoin itself, right? So you have about 50% of Bitcoin's hash rate. Basically, whenever we're using merge mining, the cryptographic hashes are stored on Bitcoin itself. Okay, and then now we've covered that benefits Bitcoin miners and the people who are using Bitcoin smart contracts also benefit. Okay. Now it allows you to do other functionalities, like using a stablecoin like USDT, which is backed by short-term loans and loans that are about a 3-month period, contributing to the fiat 1:1. So for every USDT and a US dollar, you can have a stablecoin that is a Bitcoin ecosystem, right? So let's say we took all of USDT value of 30, but that $30 billion is now going to be locked in a Bitcoin block. Want to use stablecoins, for example? Okay. That's one way of how we see you can benefit from the ecosystem. Because as much as we want it or not, there's some countries that are actually using, like Argentina, for example, that are more than they're using Bitcoin. And I'm saying, you know, instead of all this value you lost, why don't we bring it back, right? And then, because also sometimes the first point is where people are afraid of Bitcoin's volatility. Like, that's one of the hardest points I'm always kind of having. I don't know if you have the same problem. And people are like, I like Bitcoin, but Bitcoin fell by 70, good thing. But now listen, even if you think that's a problem, still use Bitcoin, right? You can still call system utility by using dollar on chain. And this is something like concepts. You have people like, was the first to call out Celsius, saying, yo, Celsius is a scam. Check this out. He's like, listen, guys, for having a stablecoin built on Bitcoin. You have people like Alex Grandstein, a stablecoin backed by Bitcoin, because if you have now individuals who now use Bitcoin to do remittances, because they know that they're not going to price fluctuations that day. So now you can even now Bitcoin. We can do remittance payments without the loss of without fidelity prices and stuff, or for business and stuff. I don't know if I explained to you, or if you have any arguments.
Like I said, I'm just not familiar with all that in general. Just the whole USDT and stuff. I just lack knowledge in that aspect. I just view Bitcoin, you know, and this is just from my perspective here in America. The few times I've been able to use Bitcoin to make payments and stuff, obviously the volatility is an issue for some people, but it just works so well especially when you use Lightning payments. So I just haven't looked into those other options that people are talking about to make, payments on top of Bitcoin and stuff. So I just lack the knowledge, and it's something I need to learn more on. What about, so you're talking about miners, how many miners are out in Africa, would you say?
Okay, so also when it came to Bitcoin mining, well, in Zimbabwe, we research, and I also talked to Anita Bosch, who's been in Zimbabwe since 17 miners, but mind you, there wasn't in Zimbabwe, but in Africa, they are. For Global Bitcoin Fest, which is the podcast that interviews Bitcoin communities all over the world. In Angola, I think I know of one guy who's got about 100 S9s, because they have access energy, actually. And because they have access energy, it's outside. So mining in Angola is very advantageous due to it being cheap. About having access energy. Mining in Zimbabwe might be more advantageous. When your currency hyperinflates, right, your cost of electricity, our cost of electricity was about 1 cent a kilowatt. Country that had 1 cent a kilowatt. You compare that to our neighboring countries, 9 cents, and Namibia, I think it was 11 cents. And even in America, I think, I don't know what you guys cost. You find places where it's about 4 cents, 5 cents, 4 cents. I don't know. Nigeria is about 5 cents. In Zimbabwe, you can have cost of electricity around about 1 cent. But it went up because the high inflation. So I think our inflation is, our cost of electricity right now is about 4 cents to 5 cents. But then, that's going to go 100% or whatever, or by 20 to 30% if you, yeah. And then, so when I looked at the numbers, I'm like, guys, there is, we need to bring that here. So I talked to people, other Bitcoiners, like Jamie. I talked to another miner, like, who is Zimbabwean, who's got a solar, Yeah, solar, like maybe let's say a solar farm, but it's just a few edible of electricity. So, okay, and I'm like, guys, I think, and we all work together to bring miners into software, Bitcoin, and thing that we can know of. So that's a new mining operation that I of, right? It would be nice if I. Other bigger companies that could mine in Zimbabwe, but I think that it's very volatile. But not subject to price volatility of the energy prices and stuff. But yeah, we are mining in Zimbabwe, and I think if we're successful, we've also had companies like Blockstream say that they were wanting to node. A Blockstream node, some miners to Zimbabwe. We don't. It's looking kind of promising from that point of view.
Yeah, and what you talk about them having excess power? What did they use to generate power? What kind of energy is it?
I think it's oil. I'm not really sure. I know Nigeria, if we. Have like and stuff.
Yeah, no people. No hydro dams or nothing.
We have the one of the worst dam because we have Victoria Falls. We have so electric. Want to speak? I think I'll be lying on their part.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So what is your favorite aspect of Bitcoin that you like trying to focus on, and like what is any projects that you're looking forward to or applications that you keep an eye on?
Yeah, I think my this is scalability through space, right? There isn't any match networks speed and monitoring transaction processes. I mean, I think that does $25 million. I don't know if it's forsaken or what it is, but it's $25 million something. And 0.01 or 0.01 thing, you know, that is extremely appealing. I think that is what's going to really allow us to Orange Pure. So, but the fact that it's a thing, it costs 0.0. If you want to use the legacy system, it'll charge you like 35%, right? So being, I think also the project that I'm super excited, my own project.
Yeah,
it's just because all it is a community, right? People, and these people are gathering on WhatsApp. What happens is that if you gather on WhatsApp, and you don't have access to exchanges, peer-to-peer transactions, right? And that's what Bitcoin was built for, peer-to-peer transactions, right? Buying your Bitcoin off exchange. WhatsApp groups are going to be and it's way more deep, right? You're not worried about having so many coins all of a sudden the CEO is saying we're going to pause with tools and claiming back. No, if I'm buying Bitcoin, I'm buying it from this person and I'm putting it into my wallet and it's safe, or I'm putting it into my cold wallet, my cold card, and I know I'm good. So that's why, like, just having this WhatsApp movement, this proof of resilience movement, it allows decentralized trade. It allows some, but it also allows individuals. It also allows individuals to educate them to meet up. I'm like, listen, you guys, can you please join our group here, right? People can have dialogue, and whenever they have questions, they can be answered instead of going all around in circles, right? So I'm really optimistic about this, as we finally created our first Instagram page and YouTube page. Post all the pictures that we take, because every time we do these events, we actually hire a professional photographer. I wish we had our own camera, but because the challenge that we had with our last meeting, people come so late, like came 2 to 3 hours. We only hire a photographer for an hour. Two people, you know what I mean? I think maybe the problem is I just saw the photographer to come from at the end, but yeah, so we hire a professional photographer, because what we're doing is that we want to display to Zimbabwe. We want to create a beacon to say that, listen, we are here for the first, yeah. And if you want to learn, if you want to do transactions, if you want to find Bitcoin employment, right, this is the place. If you want to find like-minded people, here we are. Having been on different social media platforms, this is really beneficial to us. As much as we don't like Facebook and they sell our data, they're very useful growing the Bitcoin adoption in Zimbabwe, and that's what I'm losing so much weight because I'm working so hard on each and every aspect of this to get it off the ground, because again, it's in this infant stage, and someone has to, in order for it to kick off and be more decentralized and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, are you on doing the Zoom call through your phone?
Yes.
I was gonna say, I want to try sending you a Lightning payment here. It would be cool to try to do it through this, but since you're on your phone, I don't know how we'll do that. So I've always wanted to try to send it. I've never sent it really, you know, across the country, like, you know, doing it something like this, or outside the country. So I was thinking, man, that'd be cool to do it, but we'll have to try it another time.
Yeah. Well, this is the first time you actually interviewing someone from outside the United States.
Yeah. So I just started this. This is my sixth or seventh episode. So still new to it, but definitely I've been reaching out to people across it, you know, in different countries and stuff. So you're the first one that said, yeah.
Really? I should link a friend of mine called Mary from Nigeria. She's also doing a lot of awesome work.
Yeah.
In Nigeria.
She
also does podcasts.
Yeah, get me connected. Yeah. I'd love to hear more from people all around the world. And that's one of the most beautiful things about Bitcoin is it can benefit everyone in every single country around the world for the better, you know. The fiat system is just poison the world, and we finally have something to clean that poison out.
Definitely. I mean, I've connected to so many people in Africa now. I know people in Nigeria, South Africa, and then I know people in, I think Booker is a podcast that does interviews with people all over the world. New countries, basically. I mean, just yesterday we did Australia, the morning, and then I'm meeting so many people from Vietnam, El Salvador, Spain. I mean, Bitcoin really connects you, because it's for the people. I think.
Yeah.
If you ever want, I can definitely just try to send them your way. I know there was a guy called Indian guy. He's visited 14 different countries. I think now 15 different countries in Africa.
We're starting a little Twitter DM with whoever, you, me, and whoever else you want to add on there. I'd love to have that opportunity. Just to kind of start wrapping it up, what are your final thoughts on like the Bitcoin space overall, the price and everything, and just what are you looking forward to with your meetup, and what's to come with your meetup?
Our goal with our meetups is we want to firstly just really grow our WhatsApp groups to about 400 to about 500 people, and I think participants, you know, are now incentivized to create more content for your country specific. So we also content creation and stuff, you know. In regards to Bitcoin, like I'm excited that I would love it to go to $10,000 so I can just really buy more. I mean, I'm really excited about that, you know. I think it's pretty cool, and I'm super optimistic. Like I said, you know, if you look at the on-chain data, seeing all-time highs and new addresses of certain amounts, right? We're still seeing people. I mean, even when Bitcoin is at this low price, I think I'm really optimistic now. We actually have a community in Zimbabwe. You know, so many people in Zimbabwe community, they really looked for it. They looked for other Bitcoiners, and before this, there wasn't anything. There was nothing to look up to and stuff. So now having a community where people can hang out and chill, pretty cool, you know. I think it's really beneficial to Zimbabweans and stuff. And I think saying for case, even though we don't, I just like. He said, but they underestimated what they can do in 10 years. And I think at this pace, we're going to really shock the world. I think our community is going to be one of the biggest communities in Africa, and there's another thing, you know, if you can't predict it, so all we're gonna do is that. I mean, I don't know how many meetups we're gonna have, because I think most of these meetups get funded by other people and stuff, and that's not really sustainable. It's more sustainable to get companies to fund meetups compared to depending on the budgets of individuals, like $30 now, right? And stuff. You can be more consistent when you. But yeah, yeah. So I think the meetups. I think they're only gonna get bigger from here, which is pretty exciting and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I know. I think our meetups are just getting going, and there's a meetup 3 hours away in Nashville, and they're the Nash Bitcoiners. They got Bitcoin parked there, and they get like 200 plus people at their meetups, and it's such an awesome experience. And to think we get like 15 to 20 at our meetups here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we're not too big of a city, around 200,000. So over here's, you know, average size. But to think, you know, that it's just going to keep growing as long as I stay persistent. And it's a fun thing to be a part of. But I'm just, you know, I want to fast forward to the future and see what the meetups turn out like. But I'm just enjoying the journey and the people I meet along the way.
Can I ask, okay, how do you fund these meetups basically? How do you fund?
Most people here don't have any funding. It's just self-supporting. I work for a Bitcoin company, so they help out with our venue costs. We just have to tip the bartender a little extra, so they help out with that. But other than that, that's all the funding we get. And most meetup organizers I talk to, they don't get any funding. So, you know, that's a difficult thing to come across, even over here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, So, what is the cost like? And so, people come and talk, and it's just like a teaching. Like, I don't know.
How much does it cost for like speakers?
Okay, no. Because do people buy their own food? Oh.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Drinks.
Yeah. So everybody just pays for their own stuff.
Okay. And how much do you pay for the venue?
I tip the bartender $50, and then you know, I don't drink, so I just get a little bit of food and then tip her $50, and then with it, everybody else tipping a little extra. So I'm sure she just makes, you know, kind of around $100 or so.
I think that's cheaper than what we're doing in Africa. I was just, you know, for me, I've always been hesitant on trying to ask people as well to come in and buy a drink. Our wages here. So dope. So I thought, you know, and then if they can cover the cost of the meetup and stuff, then yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to manage all that stuff. But what I tell our group is, you know, I lucked out with finding a venue. So what I tell my group is, you know, the owner's not charging us anything. He only asks that we take care of the bartender. So if we could support the business for letting us use the space by just tipping a little extra, you know, I'd appreciate the help doing that. And I've never had a complaint from the owner. So, we must be doing okay. But everybody, you know, everybody here's seems cool with that. Not everybody gets something, but about half the people do.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, maybe I'm just being arrogant, but I think it might be a little bit easier to do in America, because I think I heard 20% of your population has encountered Bitcoin, yeah. At least, you know, and you already have these awesome big events, and you already have people working for Bitcoin companies, right? So you got big exchanges, big mine, whatever, I don't know what it's.
Yeah.
I think the reason why I'm putting so much effort into videos and giving people and stuff and like doing photography is because I'm first stage. So I'm trying to get it in as much of it to reach as wide as of it, as big as it possibly can, because we don't have incentive of Bitcoin jobs just yet, or Bitcoin just yet, you know. So until we solve some of these problems, that's when I think it's down to where this is. Yeah, because I really want to get to a place where we don't have to find fun. A bunch of people who are passionate about Bitcoin, and they can basically talk about it and stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh yeah. I know. I'm ready for the day when we start getting more and more new people coming in. Everybody who comes to our meetups generally know about Bitcoin, so I'm looking forward to the day where we finally get to really start educating people and provide a learning experience for them, because that's just I wanted to be a high school teacher before getting into Bitcoin mining, and I want to educate people. I think it's a really fun experience, and I've just learned from so many great people. I want to share the knowledge from the people that I've learned from. So I'm really looking forward to that day. And then just to start wrapping things up, just kind of, where do people get a hold of you? How can we reach out to anybody in Zimbabwe working with Bitcoin?
So I put my, I just recently put my the WhatsApp group link as well with, on my Twitter handle. On my Twitter bio, and then you can basically get into the WhatsApp group where all the people who hold Bitcoin are at. That's where you can find me. And then I'm also on. I just created that page, and also just created a new YouTube page. It's all called Proof of Utility. We want to prove the resilience of Bitcoin in Zimbabwe, basically. So yeah, that's where you, our team, and I hope as many people can join, even if you're not from Zimbabwe, you can adopt into Africa, basically, and that's how we want to create the strongest we get. So we would love to have like-minded people, thing, because also in a group where people support each other, especially the people who are new and some. Yeah.
So. Right on. Well, Alexandria, I really appreciate you coming on here and talking with me. I gotta start wrapping things up and get on with my day here, so just really appreciate you doing this. I look forward to keeping in touch with you and just seeing how things progress there in Zimbabwe. So thank you so much for coming on, and look forward to catching up with you here in the future. I'm just gonna say a couple more things, and I'll chat with you here on the back end really quick, okay?
All right, awesome. Yeah, thank you. All right. I really appreciate it. It's such an honor.
Yeah, it's an honor as well over here. So appreciate you. Okay. All righty. And that was Alexandria the Great on Twitter. You can find him at Alexander97. And that's it for Hard Money, Hard Knocks today. Thank you for joining us. We will be back on next Saturday with Old City Bitcoiners down in Florida. And you can connect with us on Twitter, Hard Money, at HardKBN, also Knoxville Bitcoin Network on Twitter, Telegram, YouTube. Hard Money, Hard Knocks is played on Spotify, Apple, Fountain app. You can stream sats on Fountain. You can earn sats for listening. And also you could use promo code Knoxville for the Bitbox O2 Bitcoin only hardware wallet for 5% off. All purchases, rewards go to adding more voucher points so I can give away more BitBoxes at our meetups. So if you're interested, look up Shift Crypto and see what they got going on with the BitBox. Other than that, thank you for joining us, and keep stacking hard.